And now a message from President Joe Biden.
America, I'm here to tell you, stop seeing Spider-Man. Just stop seeing Spider-Man. Okay, think about it. I didn't say don't go to the movies. I said stop seeing Spider-Man. See anything else.
It's Geek Stuff. TNG.
Who?
The longest running geek-related podcast out there, Geek Stuff TNG.
Allegedly.
But also, really.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. I'm Spider-Man, then.
I am the Senate.
I am the sandwich.
I can handle things! I'm smart!
They don't know what it's like running the sandwich shop. You know, it takes a village to run the sandwich shop.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I'm Groot.
I am Batman.
I am West Coast.
Scott! Great Scott!
Oh, actually, he's the boss. I just pay for everything and design everything and make everyone look cooler.
I am Big Kev.
I'm always angry.
Who the hell knows why talent does what they do? That's why they're talent.
Me and Scott.
Yeah.
The real talent on the show.
Oh, boy.
As I like to say.
I have a very long history with those characters.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Scott will remember this, but Sandwich won't because he was 4.
I understood that reference.
I am Optimus Prime.
Why did you say that name?
Punch it!
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Before we get too far along, why don't we do the socials? Don't forget you can find all the show's links on the Linktree. That is, Linktree/GeekStuffTNG. You can go to Patreon.com/GeekStuffTNG. You can find us over there. If you want to support the show, we really appreciate it. Just $1 a month gets you access to the show's private Discord server where you can chat with members of the show. At $3 a month, you get the early bird special. So as soon as we're done editing the shows, you get them on the Patreon, which is usually Wednesday night-ish. We usually record on Tuesday nights. At $5 a month, it's the bonus round where you get the vintage episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You also get sandwich shops when he does them. Eventually you will get pickle jars and maybe some other stuff, fun stuff coming in the 20th year of Geek Stuff. We're going to add to all of the fun stuff that we do. And at $10 a month, you can join us in the Zoom live. If you want to be a part of the show, you can always call the GVM line.
201-730-2547.
Or you can send us an email.
At geekstufftng@gmail.com.
All right. And with that, we'll get back to the show.
There's a bunch of things we have to make fun of Sandwich for, and then we can talk about Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Then I don't have to play the spoiler yet. Let's get the making fun of Sandwich out of the way, and then we can do the Spider-Man talk because we only have Sandwich for a little bit today. So we got to do the spoiler Spider-Man.
So tell me, Arnold Palmer, what time is your tea time tomorrow?
5:12 in West Orange.
You and Pickle are playing?
No. A former student asked me if I wanted to go play golf. So.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes.
I'm busting your chops, but I'm just busting chops.
Did he bring an apple for the teacher? Mr. Sandwich, you're such a good teacher. Do you want to go play golf with me? Excuse me.
I don't even know what that accent was.
I don't
me
know.
Either.
I don't know. That's my golf student accent.
Is that just suck up student number 5?
Right. What about if we do East Coast suck up unit, suck up student number 5? I have an apple, but I don't know what to do with it. Will you take it?
Will you go play golf with me?
Well, we have a voicemail we could listen to about Sandwich. Here, hold on.
To the Sandwich voicemail?
No.
Hi, this is friend of the show, Jack,
and I have a suggestion for the sandwich car name. He should name his Nissan Rogue Ruben. Ruben like the sandwich, but also a great name. And then also, a Ruben is usually on rye, which I know Sandwich and Kev love. Love the show. You guys mentioned the latest and greatest Jackass movie really quick. I just want to say and really suggest it. I saw it with my friends opening night, and it was a blast. All right. Love the show, guys. Hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.
I think Ruben is a good name for the Rogue. Ruben Rogue.
Ruben Rogue.
Ruben on rye.
I don't hate it. Ruben the Rogue on rye.
I told you my Ruben story, right? When we were talking, I know we have because we've had the rye discussion a lot. I was in a sandwich shop with a coworker, and he's like ordering. He goes, "Yeah, there's a Ruben on the menu." He goes, "I'll have a Ruben on rye." And he goes, "Oh, what am I saying? A Ruben's always on rye." And then the lady goes, "Oh, we don't have rye bread." And he goes, "Oh, you're like out?" And she goes, "No, we don't ever have rye bread." And he goes, "Well, a Ruben is on rye bread. If it's a corned beef sandwich, if it's not on rye bread, but if it's a Reuben, it's got to be on rye bread." And he was going to argue.
True.
He was going to argue with that lady till the end of time that you cannot have a Reuben on the menu if you do not have rye bread. And so every time I hear Reuben or rye bread, that is what I think of.
That is accurate.
It is accurate. He was 100% in the right, but that lady was never going to back down.
I wanted to see the Jackass movie. I never got around to seeing it. I don't even know if it's still in theaters.
That one's out already?
It's been out, yeah. And, like, this is definitely the last one, because everyone's gray.
Did anybody die in the filming of it?
Because that would be the real giveaway.
Before we do the Spider-Man stuff real quick, I saw an interview where Johnny Knoxville is, like, genuinely in tears, upset that he can't do stunts with balls anymore. It's like, I love doing stunts with balls so much. Like, he's genuinely, like, crying, teary-eyed. And he's like upset he can't do stunts with bulls anymore.
Oh, just shut up.
Yeah. Jackass Best and Last should be on streaming now. So you can.
Really? Yeah. Is it streaming now?
It's on streaming. Yep.
Let's get into it. All right.
Yep. Okay. So let me do this.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
I mean, if you haven't seen Spider-Man Brand New Day by now, or know all of the information about it, I don't know, you have to be under a rock.
Either you saw the spoiler on TikTok, or you saw it. Because those are basically that. TikTok has only been spoilers for me, basically, for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the movie came out 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, billions of people, I feel like, at this point have seen it, because it made so much money already, right?
I mean, yeah, the number one opening of all time. It said that there was like a drop off in week two, but it's like, well, yeah, because it had the biggest opening ever. So yeah, maybe there's got to be some kind
of. It's not going to go up because everyone has seen it.
Yeah. So, Sandwich, since we have you for the shortest amount of time today, why don't you go first? Give your thoughts on Brand New
Day. I have stated, and I'll say it on the record, this is the second best Spider-Man movie of all time. I still have the original Spider-Man 2 in my heart above it.
With Doc Ock.
My personal number one of all time. I have no problem if you say this is the number one of all time, but I know people fucking love this movie, and I totally understand it. I thought there were a lot of great... Everything made sense. The only thing that didn't make sense, didn't bother me as much, was we talked about on the show before. I didn't truly think we needed Jean Grey here, but whatever. Like, I'm letting it go. It is what it is. She's Jean Grey. Everyone and their mother knows that now. I didn't think we needed her to be Jean Grey, but I guess they wanted more star power, and I guess this is a vague introduction to not really X-Men. It's just the fact that there's people with powers who just have them, because they didn't really talk about her being a mutant or anything like that. They didn't even use that word. It's a little interesting. I really liked the dynamic they had in this movie between Punisher and Spider-Man. The two actors have like natural chemistry anyways, but they really did a good job of the Punisher Spider-Man dynamic, and I really, really was a huge fan of that, actually.
And they were both in the Odyssey as well, right?
They're both in the Odyssey. So for me, for my viewing experience, I saw the two of them hang out in Spider-Man, and then a couple hours later, I saw the two of them hang out in the Odyssey.
Nice.
And they've been doing movies together for a long time. I found this out when I was looking this up. John Bernthal helped Tom Holland film his audition for Spider-Man.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, they definitely, they're good friends then.
Yeah, they've been hanging out since Tom Holland's like 17 because they've been doing movies together for that long. So, I mean, he's been involved, and I don't know, I think it showed because they had a lot of natural chemistry in the movie to me. Like, it didn't feel like forced chemistry in any way. It felt like these guys are genuinely friends, and when they're arguing, it felt like they were friends. When they're working together, it felt like they had that chemistry. Like, it really showed well in the movie. And I never thought I would get to see Punisher on the big screen like that. So I was really happy to see that. He's one of my other... He's a character I really appreciate. And seeing him, even though I'm a big Hulk fan, seeing him shoot Hulk in the head with an LMG for like a minute straight and only make headshots was kind of cool.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, you take him, I'll do that. I like
you're way above your pay grade. You're fighting the Hulk. Oh, shit.
I know. That's a big meme. Everybody's like, you know, I'm not going to fight him. You fight him. It's like... Yeah, I agree with that. What I would say, if I wasn't looking at blockbuster movies, It really feels like a comic book, right? You got random characters coming together. Where did Wolverine debut? He debuted in a Hulk comic in the cinematic universe. Where did Jean Grey debut? Well, she debuted in Spider-Man Brand New Day, You know, and he was hanging out with Punisher, so there happened to be a team-up going on. You know what I mean? That feels like an average comic book, you know, where just... Yeah. They're all interacting with each other's lives, and it doesn't have to be a major event for that to happen or to introduce a new character.
What did you think about them? I don't want to say shoehorning, because it's not really a shoe, but like jamming those comic covers in the beginning sequence of the movie.
That wasn't jamming. That was fan service, and I think it was great. I think they could have been longer than 3 to 5 seconds each.
That's what I'm, yeah.
You know, I would like to see more Tarantula. I miss the boomerang one altogether.
I mean, yeah, you blink and you miss any one of those cameos. I know, cameos. Yeah.
And so I'm going to have to, you know, when it's on Disney Plus, I'm going to have to scrutinize it a little bit more to see it. But I saw Tarantula, obviously. I saw Amazing Fantasy 15, obviously, because that was the longest one. The Tombstone one, which was... weird. The Scorpion one, even though we get more Scorpion later, I like that guy is Scorpion, and I wish there was a little bit more of him. Maybe if he had, you know, another minute and a half, they'd be making a Marvel Legends figure of him, but they are not as of right now making any of those guys. The only figures being made for that movie are Spider-Man and Hulk. And I don't even, I don't know. Did they do a Punisher? They might have done a Punisher for that one No, I don't think they did do a Punisher for that one, because the Punisher they did from Daredevil season two. Was terrible. But they did one from, I think, his special where he had the beard. That one was much better received, except he doesn't have the beard in Spider-Man Brand New Day, and the problem with the unbearded one was the head sculpt was awful. So, but suffice to say, I think we talked about this. They did do a under the Brand New Day banner. They did comic versions of Scorpion and Boomerang, and it was like, well, why not just do the film versions, you know, even if they did it as a 2-pack and it was limited, you know, or a 3-pack, throw Tarantula, the movie Tarantula, in there, or a 4-pack, throw Tombstone in there, just put it on Hasbro Pulse as an exclusive. I think that would have been, or two packs also would have worked, but just do that as a Hasbro Pulse exclusive would be much better servicing to the movie than not doing them at all, number one, and then doing comic versions of two of them. I understand why they didn't do Tombstone. One, because he doesn't look like comic Tombstone at all. And two, because they've done two comic Tombstones in the last, I don't know, several years. They've done two different ones, I'm pretty sure. So... I mean, I kind of get it, but I think it's it's a bit of a fan service failure in that regard. However, that said, they did No Way Home villains as recently as like this year, you know? So, and that's how many years ago was that movie? So, you know, it's, you know, like it's not out of line for them or out of character for them to do a villain down the line, like a Scorpion, which I think would be great. If they don't do the other one, so be it. But, you know, if they did like Scorpion, that'd be awesome. You know, it was like when the Fantastic Four movie came out and they showed a couple of those, like we didn't get a movie Mole Man, you know, but we now this year just got it. It's up now, I think, for pre-order is a comic book Mole Man. You know, we didn't get Red Ghost and his super apes, which appeared, I think Red Ghost appeared or just the apes. I can't remember, but like there were a couple of those little throwaways in the Fantastic Four too, that are like, you know, some of them even if they weren't shown, they were mentioned. Like I'm pretty sure they mentioned the Wizard. That's been like a top 10 Marvel Legends want forever. So anyway, I don't want to take up time. I know we don't have Sandwich for a long time, and I want to make sure he gets all his piece in about the video, about the movie.
I mean, I said my main bits. I mean, I guess I didn't talk about this. I don't know if I talked about it last week. I really liked the Hulk, obviously. I mean, right? I mean, we got an actual Hulk. We haven't gotten a Hulk clap since the 2008 Hulk movie, so that was cool.
No, he did it in She-Hulk.
No, but I mean, like, no, but that was also Professor Hulk. I'm talking about, okay. Like, I'm full of rage and I'm clapping.
All right.
I liked it. I was worried that Spider-Man would, like, somehow beat him in a fight. I'm cool with him using the power of friendship to make Hulk calm down. So I was trying to figure out if that was Hulk, if that was Bruce just breaking through and Hulk calming down, or was that a remembrance thing, or is it just, like, does he remember who Peter is? Does he just remember that there was a student at the school who sounded like him or something like that? You know, there's a lot of things I was trying to figure out with the end of the Hulk sequence.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be that Savage Hulk wasn't affected by Doctor Strange's spell.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce was, Professor Hulk was, but Savage Hulk wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems to be what people are saying about it. Yeah. I think that it was really good. The Punisher, Spider-Man. I did watch Brand New Day since last week, so that I could talk about that as well. But when they're talking about him saving him on Staten Island, like, that was funny, but that's why I thought, like, did that happen in One Last Kill? Just because it was talked about so much, like, I thought, did we see that somewhere else? Yeah. You know, but that almost makes it even better. Like, oh, they're interacting plenty enough that Spider-Man can say, oh, yeah, remember when I saved your ass on Staten Island, right? So, like, it just really implies a lot more history of them
than well, what we've I really like, seen on screen. I like when a world feels like it's alive.
Yeah, yeah, that it definitely does that.
You know, we're not there, and stuff still happens.
Yes.
I always think that in world building, when things are like stagnant, where it's like, oh, we've been gone for a year, but somehow nothing's changed. I think that's lame. So I appreciate when it's like, oh, hey, we haven't actually been essentially watching Spider-Man do anything. So there's like, it's like a 4-year little like time skip, right? Because they went through college or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like the fact that, hey, we went through 4 years and, you know, now everything's going on. The only thing that I didn't like about the movie is explain to me how Peter can afford an apartment with essentially no job.
Yeah. If they would have just given a throwaway bit to show him selling pictures of Spider-Man. Yeah.
Forget that. That's way too non-realistic at this point. But what he certainly could have done was anything remote.
Yeah. He could have worked from home.
Yeah.
Just show him working customer service. Yeah. Can I help you with your TV remote? Hold on. Just some random, like...
Yeah, it could be anything like that. Yeah.
But yeah, it could be... so for a 4-year time frame to pass, and there's zero mention of what he's doing for money, I think that leaves a lot. That there's a lot of issues with that. Yeah,
I figured they would have just had him at least mention he's working for the Bugle or something like that. But yeah. I guess they're not doing that yet.
Pizza time. Well, J. Jonah Jameson in this, the last time we saw him had like a InfoWars-ish podcast, right?
Yeah. And again, that's not. I mean, I certainly think that's not something that, I don't see him working for J. Jonah Jameson as Peter Parker at this point. And the point of having him take the photos and work for J. Jonah was the fact that he, like, J. Jonah hated Spider-Man, and Spider-Man was working right under his nose.
Right.
Ha, ha, ha. You know, but there's no way that you make that work. I mean, there's no plausible way at this point that you make that work, which is why I don't think we've seen J. Jonah since that movie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've seen him since, what was that, Far From Home? I don't think we've seen him since the beginning of... the last one, right? No Way Home.
Right? He was in No Way Home a good bit because he was.
Oh, was he?
Because he was now I know Spider-Man.
Right. That's what I meant. No Way Home. Yeah. That's why we haven't seen him since then. I mean, they didn't do any allusions to him in Brand New Day. They didn't show, like, there were no, that I saw, anyway, no billboards. There were no, like, video things playing. Nothing like that. Because I think rightly that they have come to the conclusion that the best part of the relationship between J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man, or J. Jonah and Peter Parker, can no longer be played because that's an anachronistic relationship at this point. You know, I'm sure they could, you know, I'm sure he could shoot footage and he could provide footage of Spider-Man to J. Jonah's, you know, video podcast thing. I suppose it's plausible. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. I think him doing, you know, something like, like tech support, remote tech support or customer service is more timely and more like, it's a throwaway because we're not interested in what Peter's doing for work. Maybe that's why they ignored it.
Yeah. But part of the character also is that he's got real life problems too. Right. And so they ignored the financial part of it. You know, it shows the isolation and the depression and the sadness, all of that stuff. So that's fine. I guess they felt like they didn't need to show the financial troubles.
I'm nitpicking anything. It's not like I actually had a problem with it, but it's like, oh, how's this guy affording all this stuff? He's got his great computer, his great apartment. What is this? In this economy?
Well, I mean, don't forget also, he was a bit of a, you know, right from the beginning, he was a bit of a, hey, I found this old VCR in the garbage and putting shit together. So, I mean, it's slightly less plausible, but they've already a foundation for him doing that. So at least to an extent, he could be getting that equipment from this or that. He could be
swinging around the city and see a good monitor and just like,
oh, they needed 30 seconds to establish that he is doing some remote job. 30 seconds. You know, even if a police call came in while he was helping an old lady check her email, 30 seconds, and nobody would have a complaint.
But genuinely though, I think at least for the MCU, I was trying to look at the MCU past couple years compared to this. I mean, this is one of the best MCU movies I've seen in a while. I mean, genuinely, it is one of the best MCU movies I've seen in what feels like a long time. Because I like Fantastic Four. I think that might have been the best one that I could think of in recent memory. But beyond that, I mean, there have been some okay ones, but this one was stellar. It truly was stellar to me. And I'm happy to see they already announced the title. I don't even know if it's real for like the next movie for Spider-Man in like probably 5 years.
Yeah, what's it called?
Spider-Man Darkest Day.
Dark. So it's just every. It's a. It's. It's
You know what
like.
that is?
It's like Friday.
You know what that is?
I mean, it could be a
That's
bunch of
gonna
things.
be that's gonna be the that's gonna be him needing to shed the symbiote.
Probably.
Because you know he's going to get this symbiote. We all thought he was going to get it at the end of this movie
Yeah.
because it was clearly laid out that he was injured, et cetera, and that he was going to get it then. He's clearly not going to get it then, but he almost assuredly is going to get it during Secret Wars.
Which is where he got it originally in the
Yep.
comics.
And he is not in Doomsday, according to rumor. So, yeah. So
I'm just.
if he is not in Doomsday and his next appearance is in Secret Wars, it is absolutely 100% clear he's going to get the symbiote.
Yeah.
I saw so there's some rumors I've seen circulating on like Reddit and the internet that during Doomsday they think Tobey Maguire is going to die basically in the first
Yep, in the
10
first
minutes,
10 minutes.
and they
Yep.
say he dies fighting the X-Men. They say their
Yep.
planets are colliding and he has to fight them and he doesn't make it out of there.
Yeah.
Which would make me very upset. Not in like a like I'm mad kind of way, but just like,
Why would he be
sad to see Tobey
fighting?
go.
Why would he be fighting the X-Men?
So allegedly the setup allegedly that everyone's posting is that when the
Allegedly.
incursion's happening, the heroes from each world are basically fighting against each other because I guess the alleged thing is if they win, their world can't survive.
Oh, that's weird.
So
I mean, that sounds more
Spider-Man's
like Secret
world is
Wars. I mean, right? Isn't that what Secret Wars is?
I mean, it sounds like it, but Spider-Man's world, Tobey's world apparently collides with the X-Men's world, so he has to solo the X-Men. And, even though he's great, he doesn't make it out of there, apparently.
Yeah. But
No,
you know
and he's
what,
not a
though?
lot. Well, he's got. I mean, I hope they show him at least holding his own because
Oh,
who he
he'll
is
hold his
supposed.
own, but.
Well, supposedly who he is fighting in that opening sequence is Deadpool and Wolverine.
No, they shouldn't be able to beat him.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, he can't do real damage, it's the problem. So he's just it's a war of attrition. He's just fighting for the sake of
That's
fighting.
true. That's true.
All right. I have a client. I have to go to the other side of the island.
That's hysterical.
Can you give me 2 more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so just real quick, I wanna my nitpicky plot things, right?
Oh, here we go.
Well, I don't like that Peter basically created the technology that's going to be used against the mutants, like very easily,
All the
you know?
universe.
I mean, right? Like he just created it. Ah, no problem. He made this inhibitor
The
immediately. Which, I mean, again, I know he's a genius. He made the web shooters and all those kind of things. But like, I'm not a big fan that you can trace that back to him, you know? And then the other thing is, I get that he was just becoming himself, but then they just kind of ignored the fact that he was, mutating further. Okay, now he's just okay. What is he stronger? And he's got, organic web shooters. Is he? I mean, right? They just kind of gave him that. They made it seem like he was going to transform into something that he couldn't control, and then they just all he's got
He's
organic web
stronger
shooters,
and
and that's it.
faster and
Is he?
organic web shooters.
Is he stronger and faster? Is that kind of what the implication is that
I
he's?
felt like he was stronger and faster. His reflexes were faster, at least. I feel like if he didn't have the boost, I'm gonna call it, I feel like he couldn't catch the samurai sword with his webs.
Okay, so I guess that's it. In that scene with the hand, it's basically saying, okay, he's in his new form and he is in control of it. He just didn't let it finish. Okay. But yeah, that was the only real question I had, two things that bothered me.
Oh, you know what else bothered me? I'll tell you what bothered me.
You know what grinds my gears? Go ahead.
I thought the sister was a weird bit for Jean.
No, they needed a reason for her to be bad.
Oh no, I know, but I just thought making up a sister felt weird. It could have been anything. It could have just been they found her when she was a kid and they were abusing her, so now she's trying to, but I guess a sister's an easier plot point.
Yeah, because then, like, yeah, I think it's just an easier plot point.
Yeah, Righteous Retribution.
Let's see if we ever hear from her again.
Oh, the
sister. I mean, about her again. Let's see if we ever hear about her again. The sister.
Because that's not a real thing. Unless I'm losing my mind that Jane has a sister with the same with similar powers.
If that's the case,
I think she did.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case.
All right. Well, we got to let Sandwich go. So let's do final thoughts on Spider-Man Brand New Day.
The Spider-Mans. I thought it was a fantastic Spider-Man movie. On the off chance you're one of the few people who haven't seen it, I recommend seeing it incredibly. I do think you should, though, see at least the Spider-Man movies before you see this movie. I don't think you can go in blind and not know at least what happened in the last, at least in the last Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
I don't think you need much MCU beyond that, though.
Yeah, you have to watch the one with Doctor Strange.
No Way Home.
No Way Home. But I mean, really,
do you think
you got to watch the Mysterio one, right? I mean, like they do kind of all.
And then if you're gonna watch, you might as well.
Yeah. So just watch all of them. Just watch all of them. You know, and before you do that, go ahead and watch Amazing Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. You know, it occurs to me that I've never seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3. I need to throw those in at some point.
No.
Yeah. You mean the Maguire 3 and the Andrew
2.
Right.
2?
Yeah, I haven't seen either of those. Okay. So.
Wow, you're in for a treat.
Well, that's probably why.
All right.
Okay, gentlemen.
Wait, parting thoughts, Sandwich. Hot Toys, 1/6 Fortnite.
Jonesy, I don't know. I feel like the audience that I normally know for Fortnite doesn't have Hot Toys money.
I didn't see the price because I didn't see. I just saw that it was announced, but I didn't look at price. So I imagine it's upwards of 2.5 would be my guess, considering everything that's with it.
I think that's what I saw, if I'm remembering when I looked at it. I don't see a price actually on the Facebook one. Anyways, I think it's cool. It's kind of, I don't want to say generic is the word I want to use because it's just Jonesy, but
I think it nailed the design. I mean, oh, yeah. I think the sculpt is spot on. So
the sculpt looks great. I like the llama.
Apparently they're gonna do a bunch, apparently. They dropped a bunch of Cos Babies as well.
I want all the Fortnite versions of other properties they've used in Hot Toys. I want every Fortnite version of every character they do normally in a Fortnite version. So Captain America, Fortnite version. The Hulk, Fortnite version.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't think they're going to do that. That's what NECA is doing.
Yes.
All right, Sandwich is giving me the high sign that he has to go. So with that, we're going to take our first and only break on this short episode, 853, the one we're going to call Spider Crawl Carl. And we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Calling all comic fans, Huracan, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us May 9th and December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, 100 Main Street, East Rockaway, New York, for the Epic Fun. Founded after Hurricane Sandy, every dollar supports the church and community programs. Everyone is welcome at Huracan. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, grab toys and collectibles, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Don't miss the heart of the comics community. Visit Huracan on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's Huracan LI for details. Huracan, where heroes unite for good.
We We need to get the word out that the listeners can be involved with Geek Stuff TNG directly by using our GVM line
201-730-2547.
Maybe we could use our seductive voices?
Huh?
Our what?
All right, here. Let's read these lines in our most seductive voices, like this.
Hey there. We want you to be a part of Geek Stuff TNG with your questions and your comments.
Oh!
That's right. We want you to tell us what's on your mind. What we are doing that you like.
So call us on the GVM line 201-730-2547 and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Geek Stuff TNG.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
And now another classic Geek Stuff ID.
Hi, it's Rose McIver. You are listening to Geek Stuff. Oh, baby, we can't stop running now.
Geek Stuff TNG.
Build your own X-Wing. Luke Skywalker's legendary Red 5 Starfighter from the Star Wars saga. The X-Wing is recreated in stunning detail in a massive 1 to 18 scale and comes complete with remote-activated working lights, R2-D2 motorized wings, removable hyperdrive opening cockpit, and a magazine full of fascinating facts, plus an amazing step-by-step assembly guide. You will also receive a free binder, power pack, and bookends, model space.
Live from the sandwich shop, Pi-Day Productions in sunny Southern California, and Big Kahuna Studios, it's Geek Stuff TNG. During our commercial break, you're from our amazing sponsor, BuildXWing.com. This model is in 1/18 scale, making it the only fully scaled, fully detailed X-Wing ever made for use with your 3 3/4 Star Wars action figures. This X-Wing features many amazing details, like the proton torpedo bay, working engine lights, and a light-up R2-D2. You can add your own boops, bops, and beeps. The S-foils open to attack position. The laser cannons simulate firing, and the engine lights power up, all by remote control. We recommend you take them up on their premium offer. You get 1/18 scale hangar accessories to create a detailed display of your X-Wing, including crates, tanks, personnel transporter, landing lamps, fuel pump, ladder, as well as several static figures, including ground crew members, and even Luke Skywalker himself. When you sign up for your subscription each month, in addition to your parts of the model, you'll get 4 full-color magazines featuring instructions for the parts you've received, fascinating articles about the original models used in the movies, and more. You can collect these great source materials in a free binder, which you'll receive as part of your subscription. As a fan of collectibles, you may have seen models like this online or shows or conventions, and I don't need to tell you, the price tag can be quite high. The genius of the system is that you're paying a little each month as well as having fun putting it together yourself. You can check out more info over at BuildXWing.com or reach them by phone at 877-544-6779. Check them out today.
All right, so we're going to keep it short this week. We have a special guest with a pre-recorded message that is executive producer OG. Be sure to check him out on the TikToks, right? He's got a great TikTok over there. It is GeekStuff OG on TikTok. And then he's going to tell us about Dungeon Crawler Carl, because we asked last week if somebody could explain it to us. And our own OG swoops in to save the day, as he often does.
Oodalolly.
So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to OG, and then we'll be back to wrap up the show.
What's going on, folks? OG here. Don't forget, each and every week you can check out the OGP bonus content for each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You can find the content at the website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, or do a search in iTunes for OGP. So check it out.
Hello, Big Kev, West Coast Scott, and Subway. I hope you three fellas are doing well. I hear you guys are a little bit interested in Dungeon Crawler Carl, and I thought maybe I would at least give you a little bit of a rundown based on my knowledge of it. I'm pretty new to the series myself, but I do know that it started in 2020, but it's kind of reaching a fever pitch right now because there is an upcoming television series coming out. I believe it's going to be for Peacock, and it's Seth Rogen's production company that is producing it. The book series is insanity in book form. The style of book that this is called Lit RPG, and it is this weird, bizarre amalgamation of reading a story that plays like a video game with loot and achievements, but all of it is built into the narrative of the book. The premise of the book, it is like a sci-fi fantasy post-apocalyptic government throwover that combines elements from The Running Man, The Hunger Games, Survivor, maybe, to narratively tell its story. The main characters in the story are obviously a gentleman by the name of Carl, and his pet cat, who becomes sentient when they enter into this dungeon. And the two of them are a group or a party, and they meet a cast of NPCs along the way, you know, including a dinosaur named Mongo, the decapitated head of a sex doll that is also sentient. They meet gods, goblins, gnolls, so it plays on a lot of fantasy tropes as well. And like I said, it is emotionally heavy, it is fast-paced, and Matt Dinneman does a great job of introducing conflict and resolving conflict in a very satisfying narrative way. The series starts off with Carl chasing his cat who just leaped out a window outside, and while he is outside, aliens invade Earth, and pretty much anybody who is inside of a building at the time of this invasion is killed instantly. Anybody that is outside is spared, and they have two options at this point. They can enter this dungeon, but they don't know what the dungeon really entails, or they could try to survive on the surface in this new post-apocalyptic invaded planet. What we learn is that Carl goes into the dungeon with Donut the cat, and chaos ensues. The dungeon is part of a program called Dungeon Crawler Earth, and this is kind of where the Running Man elements come in, because what we learn is that all of the participants in this dungeon, and there are hundreds of thousands of them, or actually there might be millions when it first starts, across the entire globe, but what we learn is that the events of this dungeon are being broadcast across the galaxy to all of these other planets. And there are like all these corporate sponsorships, and there is a syndicate that looks over all of it. It's insanity. So Carl is forced to try to survive this dungeon, which is 18 floors. And for the first couple of books, every book pretty much covers a floor. The first book, for example, is a very sort of fantasy-driven kind of floor with goblins and crawlers and slimes and things like that. The second floor is a little bit more urban fantasy with some of the same sorts of things, right? You have like Arakakras, even though that's not what they're called, and you still have goblins and stuff like that. But it's in like an urban city development setting. And the third floor takes place on a really complicated subway line, just to give you an idea of the first three floors. I recommend this book series to anybody who might have been in a reading slump recently, who's looking for something new and fun to read. Definitely anybody that is in our kind of subgenre of pop culture, reading, video games, Dungeons and Dragons. It's an amazing series. Oh, and the toy license, Playmates of all companies, has picked up the toy license. I know they had a couple of exclusives that were at San Diego Comic-Con this year, with the rest of the line coming out later in the year. And in addition to that, there is an actual published RPG, TTRPG, coming out towards the end of this year, November, December time, that was funded completely on Kickstarter. The core book, a supplemental book, some minis, and I think a deck of reference cards are all coming out right around the same time. So you can look for those. They're on pre-order now on a lot of major sites. But yeah, I mean, I love the series. I think it's fantastic. I think you guys should check it out. And if anybody wants me to dive into anything a little bit deeper or more about it, just let me know. I'd be happy to share.
All right, that was our own Geek Stuff OG, executive producer of the show, with a recap of the Dungeon Crawler Carl universe. We really appreciate that. It's always good to hear OG's voice. And if you want to hear more of OG's voice, go check him out. It's Geek Stuff OG on TikTok and all the other socials. And with that, I think we will bring this episode to a close, the one we're calling Spider Crawl Carl, the way we end some shows by saying...
Good night, Ben Jones. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Be told you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.